And now we're joined by Peter Walsh. He is a primate quantitative ecologist from Cambridge University. And although the human Ebola outbreak is a recent thing, it's been massively affecting gorillas and chimpanzees for years. It's estimated that a third of gorillas have been wiped out by Ebola. Thanks for joining us, Peter. Hello.
Hello.
So, you know, we heard earlier that fruit bats can carry Ebola and maybe have been the source of the disease in humans. But many people may not know that other primates, chimps and gorillas, can get Ebola too. I mean, does it affect them in the same way as humans? Tell me a bit about how it does affect these animals.
Well, gorillas and chimps are our closest relatives and their immune systems are extremely similar to ours. And therefore, when a gorilla gets Ebola, it behaves pretty much the same way as it would if it was in you or me.
So they're getting all the horrible fevers, as we had described, the bleeding and all the kind of horrible
Absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. It's even worse for them because think about it. They're out in the forest. There's no nurses. They don't get any water. They don't get protected from other animals. It's pretty horrific.
And what do we know about how these wild chimp and gorilla populations are getting Ebola?
Best guess is that fruit bats eat fruit and gorillas eat fruit. So they go to the tree and some chimps have been there and left the virus in their body fluids, maybe saliva, maybe feces, and they eat the fruit and then get infected.
How widespread is this problem? I mean, are we seeing animals being affected in the areas where the current outbreak is?
The biggest mortalities of gorillas and chimpanzees have been in Central Africa, which is quite a ways from these outbreaks. But there are chimpanzees in the area where that first index case that Susie was talking about, it was in Guinea, in a remote area. Where this outbreak started was in the most forested area in West Africa. And there are still some chimpanzees and other animals like monkeys out in that area.
So basically, we just don't know.
Out there in West Africa, we don't know. In Central Africa, we have a pretty good idea. We have actual evidence where we have somebody who got sick and they told us, well, I ate some gorilla and they went out and found the carcass and they found the same virus in the gorilla carcass that the person had. So there it's pretty well documented.
And is there anything that can be done? I mean, it does sound like this disease is decimating these wild primate populations.
Well, I mean, because our immune systems are so similar to gorilla or chimpanzee, it means that the vaccines that work on us work on them too. And I actually led a captive chimpanzee vaccine trial with an Ebola vaccine, not one of the ones that you already talked about, but a different one. And the vaccine didn't cause the chimpanzees any kind of side effects, and it caused a very robust immune response. And right now I'm trying to gear up with some colleagues to go out and vaccinate gorillas in the wild.
That's got to be a bit tricky, though, surely?
It turns out to be a lot easier than you think. It's easy for
just catch them and stab them. How do you
No,
do
you don't
that?
Have to catch them. We use a blowgun, and so you don't actually have to immobilize them. It's easy for the ones that are in a tourism program or a research program. It's kind of fun. It's kind of scary. You know, you get the big silverback is leaning, and you think, and people were certain that the gorillas were going to kill us when we did it, and we went out and did it with measles vaccine, and they didn't hardly respond at all.
They just don't even notice. It's like a mosquito bite or something.
Go Google gorilla and teeth, and you'll see they bite each other all the time. That's a lot worse than a little needle.
Okay. I mean, we've mentioned that the fruit bats might be the reservoir for Ebola in the wild. Is there any way we can eradicate that? How do we go about trying to track down that reservoir?
It's going to sound like science fiction, but 50 years from now, it's going to be standard practice. There's what's called a self-disseminating vaccine. And what it is you take a different virus, you put a little piece of Ebola in that other virus, and then you give that virus to the bats, and then it spreads within the bat population, immunizes the bats. And there's research in other species on these self-disseminating vaccines going on right now, and eventually that's the way we're going to handle wildlife vaccines. Right now, the state of the art is oral vaccination. You put the vaccine into a bait. This has been very effective in Europe in almost eradicating fox rabies. You put baits out, the animals eat it, and they get immunized. But that's the kind of thing that we could do.
And when it comes to actual people rather than these chimps and gorillas, I mean, what are your feelings on the outbreak and how it's being handled?
I think what Colin was talking about is very true. If you don't respond quickly, then you have a problem. And in this case, sort of institutional rivalries and international rivalries. It started in a French-speaking country. The French don't like the Americans. The Americans had better capacity to do this sort of monitoring thing. The World Health Organization doesn't like the Centers for Disease Control from the United States. And the reason this thing got out of control was that those national and international organizations could not play well together, and they let it get out of control.
And do you have hope personally that it may get back under control?
Right now, it's I've been doing some projections. It's difficult to tell right now whether it's going to. Liberia has slowed down a little bit and is looking a little bit better, but Sierra Leone and Guinea are still moving along, and it's still a chance that we're going to have a really, really nasty outbreak that kills up into 100,000 people or more. It's just unclear.
That's pretty terrifying vision of the future. So I really hope that some of the vaccines and treatments that we've been talking about do come online soon. Are you hopeful for those as well?
I think I'm actually doing some modeling on how much it's going to take, how much vaccine it's going to take. And it's looking like it just depends. If it really goes big, then the vaccines are the only thing that's going to stop it. And they will be in production in large enough numbers of doses by about April to do that. If it attenuates, then the vaccines are going to be too late.
Let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that everyone is learning to talk together. Thank you very much. That's Peter Walsh from Cambridge University.
Thank you, Kat.